welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Monday, January 17th. It's MLK Day, and we had four games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Detroit, the Suns handily defeated the Pistons 135-108. In Sacramento, the Rockets edged past the Kings 118-112. In Minnesota, the Timberwolves beat the Warriors 119-99. And finally, in Denver, the Jazz defeated the Nuggets 125-102. So we will break down all four of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Detroit, where the Pistons were defeated handily by the Phoenix Suns, 135-108. The Suns were led by Michigan native Devin Booker. He had 30 points in the starting lineup, and they also got 20 off the bench from JaVale McGee and Cameron Payne. Whereas the Pistons were led by Corey Joseph. He had 21 points, and they also got 21 from Cade Cunningham in the starting lineup. But unfortunately for them, Cade was on his way to a really solid game. He played just 25 minutes before getting ejected from this game. He drove along the baseline and had a beautiful reverse dunk all over Jalen Smith. And to celebrate, he pointed at his bench, and that was enough to get him his second technical of the game and get ejected. And that was really a killer for the Pistons because he was carrying the team offensively. He was 9 of 15 while he was on the court. He was just dominant. And frankly, they were on their way to losing anyways, but nonetheless, it really killed the momentum even further when he went out. And so the Suns easily cruised to victory in the end. It was really the second and third quarters when they opened up a pretty significant lead. They outscored the Pistons 25-19 in the second, and then 39-28 in the third. So at halftime, it was a 10-point game, but by the end of the fourth quarter, it was a 21-point lead for the Suns, and they cruised to victory in the fourth quarter easily. And overall, the Suns were very efficient, unsurprisingly, 58% from the field. That is very good. And 40% from three. And they also dominated Detroit on the boards, 51-32. So pretty much in every way, this was an emphatic victory for the Suns. The Pistons were 46% from the field and 36% from three, so not terrible, but just not nearly good enough to contend with Phoenix. And so with this win, the Suns now improved to 33-9. So they are still at the top of the Western Conference and at the top of the entire NBA. They are 2.5 games up now on the Golden State Warriors in second, and 4.5 games up on the Jazz and Grizzlies in third and fourth. So the Suns totally dominant at the moment. They have a plus 7.7 point differential, which is just behind the Jazz and Warriors. Those three are head and shoulders above the rest of the league in terms of the point differential, and the Suns are on a 3-game winning streak. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pistons, this loss takes them to 10-32, so they're still in 14th in the Eastern Conference. They are 3 games up on the Orlando Magic in last, and they're 4.5 games behind the Indiana Pacers in 13th. The Pistons are negative 9.9 in the point differential. That is worst in the entire league, but they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Suns, as I mentioned, were led by Devin Booker. He had 30 points in 30 minutes. He was 11 of 18 from the field, so very efficient. Only 1 of 5 from 3. He's 7 of 10 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds and 4 assists. No steals, no blocks, 1 turnover. He was plus 20 in the plus minus. So overall, really solid game, especially from a scoring perspective for Devin Booker. Elsewhere in the starting lineup, 10 points for Mikal Bridges in 30 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. He was also plus 20 in the plus minus. 10 points as well for Chris Paul in 27 minutes. He was also 4 of 10 from the field. He had 6 rebounds and 6 assists with 1 steal and 1 block. 9 points for Jay Crowder in 23 minutes. He was 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. He had 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And DeAndre Ayton, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 6 points in 8 minutes only before going out of this game. He was perfect from the field while he was on the court, 3 of 3, and he had 2 assists and 1 steal. Off the bench for the Suns, they got 20 points from the backup point guard Cameron Payne and the backup big man JaVale McGee. So first, Payne, in 31 minutes, was 8 of 12 from the field. He had 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Really solid production from Payne. And then McGee, in just 15 minutes, was 9 of 10 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 1 block. Incredible production from those two off the bench. Such a dynamic duo coming in. Really, if you wanted to include Cameron Johnson, who did not play once again because of that sprained left ankle in this game. But those three, Johnson, Payne, and McGee, have just been so good this season for the Suns. Probably the best trio of the entire league coming off the bench for any team. So anyways, the Suns also got 11 points from Landry Shamet in 25 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from the field. He had 5 assists and 1 block. They also got 7 points from Ish Wainwright in 15 minutes. He had 4 rebounds and 7 points as well for Bismack Biyombo, the backup big man. He was 3 of 6 from the field. And then they got 3 points from Jalen Smith, the sophomore big man. He had 7 rebounds and 2 blocks, although he was 0 of 3 from the field. And then 2 points for Elfrid Payton in 7 minutes. And as for the Detroit Pistons, they were led, as I mentioned, by Corey Joseph off the bench with 21 points. In 27 minutes, the backup point guard was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 7 assists. He got a little extended playing time after the Cade Cunningham ejection, so a really nice showing for Joseph off the bench. And then Cunningham himself had 21 points as well in the starting lineup. In just 25 minutes, he was 9 of 15 while he was on the court. He had 1 three-pointer, 1 rebound, 4 assists, and 1 steal. So really unfortunate ejection there for Cunningham. Definitely undeserved, seemingly. And he was on his way to a really solid game. He was negative 20 in the plus-minus, though. That was a team low, alongside Sadiq Bey. Bey had 8 points on 3 of 9 shooting. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist. 10 points for Hamidou Diallo in 29 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. 9 points for Killian Hayes, the other sophomore. He had 27 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field. He had 3 rebounds and 5 assists. And 5 points for the third sophomore, Isaiah Stewart, the big man, in 23 minutes, had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Off the bench for the Pistons, besides Corey Joseph, they also got 18 points from Trey Lyles. The backup power forward in 19 minutes was 6 of 8 from the field, 6 of 13 from the free throw line. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. He was negative 11 in that time. They also got 8 points from Cassius Stanley in 22 minutes. He was 3 of 8 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. 5 points for Luka Garza, the rookie, in just 7 minutes. He was 2 of 3 from the field. And then 2 points for Saben Lee and 1 point for Josh Jackson. All right, and next up we can move on to Sacramento, where the Kings were defeated by the Houston Rockets, 118-112. The Rockets were led by Christian Wood. He had 23 points and 14 rebounds. And they also got 23 points from Kevin Porter Jr. and 17 points off the bench for Garrison Matthews. Whereas the Kings were led by Buddy Hield. He had 27 points off the bench. He was 5 of 9 from 3. And then they got 17 points from Terrence Davis and 16 from the rookie Davion Mitchell. He had 4 steals. And this game went down to the wire, but it was the Rockets who were leading early on. They got out to a hot start, outscoring Sacramento 21-5 in the first, 5 minutes of this game. They were up by 8 after the end of the first quarter, and they maintained that lead throughout the majority of the second quarter as well. But eventually, the Kings fought back, and they actually took the lead by halftime. It was 60-55 in favor of the Kings by the half, and then it was just back and forth throughout the entire second half. And ultimately, it was the Rockets who pulled away about midway through the fourth quarter. They were able to hold on to a small lead throughout the final couple of minutes of this game. Kevin Porter Jr. hit a clutch three-pointer with 1:29 left on the clock that extended the lead to 4. It was 114-110 at that point. And so this was a really tough loss for the Kings, especially in light of the fact that Houston, as they typically do, turned the ball over a ton. 23 turnovers for the Rockets. That is way too many. They are unsurprisingly number one in the NBA in terms of turnovers, 17 per game. That is ridiculous, but not entirely surprising considering the average age of this team. So anyways, the Kings really should have capitalized on that, but they were totally out-rebounded by the Rockets, and they shot the ball much worse than Houston. They were 45% from the field and 31% from three, whereas the Rockets were 53% from the field and 40% from beyond the arc. So despite the sloppy ball handling for the Rockets, they totally dominated in pretty much every other way. And so with this win, the Rockets now improved to 13-32. So they're still at the bottom of the Western Conference, but they're just 2.5 games behind the OKC Thunder in 14th, and they're 4.5 games behind the Kings in 11th. And the Rockets have a negative 8.4 point differential. That is worst in the Western Conference. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Kings, this loss takes them to 18-28. So they are, as I mentioned, up in 11th in the West. They are one game behind the Blazers in 10th and half a game up on the Spurs and Pelicans in 12th and 13th. And the Kings are negative 4.0 in the point differential, which puts them about where they should be in the conference standings. It's worse than the Spurs below them, but better than the Trailblazers ahead of them. And they're 3-7 in their last 10 games as well. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Rockets, as I mentioned, were led by Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood, both of whom had 23 points in the starting lineup. Wood had the big double-double, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He was 8 of 15 from the field, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc, so a really productive game for Wood. And Porter Jr. was also pretty productive. 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals to go along with his 23 points. He was 5 of 9 from beyond the arc, but he did have 6 turnovers. He was the only starter to not be positive in the plus-minus. And the team high in that regard was Eric Gordon. In 32 minutes, he was plus 26 in the plus-minus. That was by far the team high. He had 15 points in that time. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists. They got 15 points as well from the rookie, Jalen Green. He was pretty efficient, 6 of 10 from the field. He had 5 rebounds and 4 assists, but he also had 4 turnovers, which is, again, way too many. 10 combined turnovers from your backcourt is just not going to get it done. And then finally, Jayshon Tate rounding out the starting lineup was also really efficient. 5 of 6 from the field for 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And off the bench for the Rockets, they got 17 points from Garrison Matthews. He has just been a revelation this season. In 23 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from beyond the arc in this game and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. So incredible efficiency, and he had 1 rebound in that time. They also got 9 points from Kenyon Martin Jr. in 22 minutes. He was really efficient as well, 4 of 6 from the field also. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. And 6 points from the rookie Alperen Şengün in 15 minutes. Armani Brooks and Josh Christopher saw the court briefly, but they were a combined 0 of 6 from the field. Neither of them scored. And as for the Kings, they were led by Buddy Hield off the bench. In 30 minutes, he had 27 points on 9 of 16 shooting. He had 5 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 steals. Incredible production for Hield off the bench. Hield and the rookie Davion Mitchell saw a little bit of extended playing time because Tyrese Halliburton is in the COVID health and safety protocols. And because of that, in the starting lineup, the leading scorer was Terrence Davis in place of Halliburton. He had 17 points on 6 of 14 shooting. He was 2 of 10 from 3, but he had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. So not the most efficient game for Davis, but nonetheless, solid contributions throughout the box score in place of Halliburton. And then they also got 14 points from De'Aaron Fox and Chimezie Metu. Fox was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And Metu, in 26 minutes, was 6 of 14 from the field. He had 1 3, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 12 points for Harrison Barnes in 32 minutes. He was only 2 of 7 from the field, but he was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. He had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And Rashawn Holmes, rounding out the starting lineup, had 4 points in 15 minutes only. He was 2 of 2 from the field in that time. And off the bench for the Kings, besides Buddy Hield, they also got 16 points from the rookie Davion Mitchell. He was 7 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, and 4 steals. Excellent production from Mitchell, one of his better games of the season thus far. He's the third guy on the roster for the Kings to have 4 steals, along with Terrence Davis and Buddy Hield. And the Kings also got 5 points from Mo Harkless, 1 point for Alex Len, and 2 for Damian Jones. Alright, next up we can move on to Minnesota, where the Timberwolves easily defeated the Golden State Warriors, 119-99. The Warriors obviously were missing their main two guys in Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Klay Thompson did play in this game, as did Andrew Wiggins. The leading scorer, though, was Jordan Poole. He had 20 points in the starting lineup. He had 3 three-pointers. And the rookie, Jonathan Kuminga, was the second leading scorer off the bench. Another solid game for Kuminga. He had 19 points on 6 of 12 shooting, although he was a team low, negative 30 in the plus-minus. Whereas the Timberwolves were led by Karl-Anthony Towns. He had 26 points, 11 rebounds in 30 minutes, and they also got 17 points from Jalen Nowell off the bench and 16 from Malik Beasley also off the bench. D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards both really struggled in this game. They scored a combined 16 points, but in the end it didn't really matter as the Timberwolves were able to open up a pretty significant lead at the end of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth. There was a stretch of about 6 or 7 minutes there where the Warriors' offense totally stagnated. With about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, they were down by 4. It was 84-80 after a Malik Monk three-pointer with 3:20 left on the clock. But then about 9 minutes later, after a Jaden McDaniels three-pointer with 6:21 left on the clock in the fourth quarter, the Timberwolves had 111 points, whereas in that span, the Warriors had just scored 4 points. It was 111-84. So just like that, a 4-point lead turned into a 17-point lead, and the Warriors never had a chance from there on out. They kept pace with the Timberwolves throughout the final half of the fourth quarter, but it did not matter. The Wolves cruised to victory, and overall they shot very well, 49% from the field, 37% from three, whereas the Warriors were quite inefficient, 39% from the field, 31% from three. And other than that, the stats were pretty equal, so the shooting disparity was the killer for the Warriors in this game. They certainly could have used Steph Curry's efficiency And so with this loss, the Warriors now fall to 31-12. So they're now 2.5 games behind the Phoenix Suns in first in the Western Conference and 2 games up on the Utah Jazz in third. The Warriors are still plus 7.9 in the point differential, though. That is best in the league, but just barely ahead of the Jazz and Suns right below them. But they're just 4-6 in their last 10 games. So a really disappointing run of form here for Steve Kerr and the Warriors. And as for the Timberwolves, this win takes them to 21-22. So they're currently in 7th right now in the Western Conference. They are tied with the LA Lakers in 8th and half a game up on the Clippers in 9th. And then they're 1.5 games behind the Denver Nuggets in 6th. So very tightly contested there in the middle of the West. The Wolves are plus 1.0 in the point differential, which puts them exactly where they should be in the conference standings. Finally, in the West, we have a nice distribution of the point differential. All of the top 7 teams are positive. All of the bottom 8 teams are negative. And the Wolves are 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Warriors, as I mentioned, were led by Jordan Poole in the starting lineup. He had 20 points on 5 of 13 shooting. He was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. He had 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He was negative 10 in the plus minus, though. They also got 13 points from Klay Thompson in just his 4th game for the Warriors this season. He only played 23 minutes, and he was 5 of 14 from the field in that time. But he was 3 of 8 from 3, and he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And he's had, overall, a pretty decent debut for the Warriors this season. He's played 4 games now. He's averaging, 13.5 points, 3 rebounds, 1.5 assists, half a block, half a steal. So decent numbers throughout the box score, considering that he's only playing about 20 minutes per game. And he's shooting 35% from the field. That's not great, but 35% from 3 as well. So overall, encouraging signs for Klay Thompson, to be sure. I think once he gets some more games under his belt and starts to bump up his minutes to a normal distribution, I think he should be back to his former self, at least on offense. Defensively, I would be surprised if he returns all the way to his former self, because he was one of the better perimeter defenders in the entire league at his peak athleticism. But like I said, I think from a fantasy perspective, offensively, he'll get back to where he used to be, or at least pretty close to it, sooner rather than later. Elsewhere in the starting lineup, the Warriors got 12 points from Otto Porter Jr. and Andrew Wiggins. Porter Jr. was plus 7 in the plus minus. That was a team high. He had 12 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block, and 2 3-pointers as well. So really solid production throughout the box score for Otto Porter. And then Andrew Wiggins had 12 points as well on 4 of 11 shooting. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. And then finally, Kevon Looney, rounding out the starting lineup, had 4 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Off the bench for the Warriors, they got 19 points from Jonathan Kuminga. Another really solid game for the rookie. He has now scored in double digits in 4 straight games. He scored, of course, 25 in their last game. And in this one, he had 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 3-pointer. Now, he wasn't super efficient. He was 1 of 5 from 3 and 6 of 10 from the free throw line. And he was a team low, negative 30 in the plus minus. So that's not a great sign. But nonetheless, the scoring prowess is evident with Kuminga. And so elsewhere off the bench for the Warriors, they got 6 points from Nemanja Bjelica in 15 minutes. He was brutal in this game, 1 of 6 from the field. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist, 4 turnovers. Andre Iguodala was also pretty brutal. He was 0 of 4 from the field. He did not score. He was negative 26 in the plus minus. 5 points for Juan Toscano-Anderson in 8 minutes. He was 1 of 3 from the field. And Damian Lee, rounding out the scorers off the bench for the Warriors, he had 8 points on 3 of 5 shooting. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And as for the Minnesota Timberwolves, they were led by Karl-Anthony Towns. A nice double-double, 26 points and 11 rebounds. He had 1 assist, 2 blocks, 1 3-pointer. He was 11 of 20 from the field overall. So nice contributions throughout the box score for Towns. He was plus 7 in the plus-minus. That was a starter's high. They also got 10 points from Jared Vanderbilt and Patrick Beverley. The veteran point guard, Beverley, was 3 of 7 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And Vanderbilt had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. He was perfect, 5 of 5 from the field. And then, like I mentioned, just 16 combined points from Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell, both of whom were struggling to shoot the ball efficiently. Edwards was 3 of 8 from the field. He had 9 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And Russell was 2 of 9 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. He had 7 points, 3 rebounds, 12 assists, and 2 steals, but 5 turnovers. Off the bench for Minnesota, they got 17 points from Jalen Nowell. In 25 minutes, he was 6 of 9 from the field. He had 3 threes, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 block. And they also got 16 points from Malik Beasley in 24 minutes. He was 5 of 10 from the field. All 5 of his makes came from beyond the arc, and he had 2 rebounds and 3 assists. He was plus 27 in the plus minus. That was a team high. So really nice contributions from Beasley and Nowell off the bench for the Wolves. And they also got 9 points from Jaden McDaniels in 21 minutes. He was 4 of 12 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And they also got 9 points and 9 rebounds from the backup big man, Naz Reid. He was 4 of 5 from the field in 15 minutes. And then they also got 3 points from Taurean Prince, 2 for McKinley Wright IV, and 1 for Josh Okogie. All right, and finally we can move on to Denver, where the Nuggets were defeated by the Utah Jazz, 125-102. The Jazz were led by Donovan Mitchell. He had 31 points. And they also got a big double-double from Rudy Gobert, 18 points and 19 rebounds, and 21 points from Bojan Bogdanović. Whereas the Nuggets were led by Nikola Jokic, he had an incredible performance. 25 points, 15 rebounds, and 14 assists. A huge triple-double, and he was super efficient as well, 10 of 18 from the field. You really can't ask for much more than that from the reigning MVP. Just fantastic numbers, especially from a fantasy perspective. And then Denver also got 20 points from Aaron Gordon and 16 from Will Barton. And this game totally came down to the fourth quarter. It was just a 3-point game heading into the final period. But then in the fourth, the Nuggets totally capitulated. They were outscored 34-14. They just could not buy a bucket throughout the fourth quarter, and the Jazz ultimately cruised to victory. The Jazz were leading throughout various points of this game, but the Nuggets always had an answer. They got out to a lead in the second quarter and then in the third quarter as well, but both times the Nuggets rallied and either tied the game up or got right back into contention. But then in the fourth, that was absolutely not the case. The Jazz just totally dominated, and overall in this game, they were 52% from the field and 38% from three. Those are really solid numbers, whereas the Nuggets were just 44% from the field and 25% from three, and they were also out-rebounded pretty significantly by the Jazz, 51-39. So basically, in every way, a dominant victory for the Jazz. The Nuggets only had 9 turnovers, but the Jazz did as well. So a clean game for both teams, but the shooting was heavily in favor of the Jazz. And so with this win, Utah now improves to 29-14. So they are back in third in the Western Conference. They have taken that spot back from the Memphis Grizzlies, but it's very tightly contested. They're just a couple of percentage points ahead of Memphis. They are 2 games behind the Golden State Warriors now in second, 4.5 games off the top spot, the Phoenix Suns in first, and they are 5 games up on the Dallas Mavericks in fifth. And the Jazz are plus 7.8 in the point differential. That is second best in the NBA, and they are 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Denver Nuggets, this loss takes them to 22-20. So they're currently in 6th right now in the West. They are 1.5 games behind the Dallas Mavericks in 5th, and 1.5 games up on the Minnesota Timberwolves in 7th. And the Nuggets are plus 1.1 in the point differential, which puts them exactly where they should be in the conference standings. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Jazz, as I mentioned, were led by Donovan Mitchell. He had 31 points in 35 minutes. He was 11 of 24 from the field, 4 of 12 from 3. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, although he was negative 4 in the plus-minus. That was nearly a starter's low, along with Bojan Bogdanović. But the starter's high in that regard was Rudy Gobert by far. He was plus 36 in the plus-minus. That is ridiculous. He had 18 points, 19 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and he was perfect, 7 of 7 from the field. Now, he was 4 of 7 from the free throw line, but nonetheless, just incredible numbers across the board for Gobert. And they also got 21 points from Bojan Bogdanović in 31 minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field. He had 1 3-pointer, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. 11 points for Royce O'Neal in 31 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And 8 points for the point guard Mike Conley in just 23 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, and 6 assists. Off the bench for the Jazz, they got 16 from Jordan Clarkson in 27 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. They also got 10 points from Eric Paschal in just 9 minutes. He was 4 of 5 from the field. He had 1 rebound and 1 steal. He was plus 21 in the plus minus. There were 5 players on the roster for the Jazz who were significantly higher than everybody else in terms of the plus minus. It was Gobert, Conley in the starting lineup, and then it was Paschal, Clarkson, and Ingles off the bench. And so speaking of Ingles, he had 3 points in 21 minutes, although he was just 1 of 5 from the field. He had 4 rebounds and 5 assists. And they also got 7 points from Rudy Gay in 21 minutes. He was 2 of 7 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 steals. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench. Denzel Valentine and Trent Forrest saw the court briefly but did not score. And as for the Denver Nuggets, they were, of course, led by Nikola Jokic. He was just incredible in this game, an MVP caliber performance to be sure. A huge triple-double, 25 points, 15 rebounds, 14 assists, insane numbers. He was also very efficient, 10 of 18 from the field and 2 of 5 from 3, and he was 3 of 3 from the free throw line. He had 2 steals, he did have 3 turnovers, but nonetheless, just insane numbers from Nikola Jokic. They also got 20 points from Aaron Gordon in 35 minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field. He had 2 threes, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. 16 for Will Barton in 36 minutes. He was not super efficient, 6 of 17 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block, though. 13 points for Monty Morris in 29 minutes. He was just 1 of 8 from 3. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. And Jeff Green, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 4 points in 20 minutes. He had 3 rebounds. He was negative 17 in the plus-minus. That was by far the starter's low. And conversely to the Jazz, there was 5 players on the Nuggets who were significantly negative in the plus-minus, and that was Jeff Green and then 4 guys off the bench, Zeke Nagy, Facundo Campazzo, Bones Highland, and Devon Reed. So we can move on to the bench. And the rookie, Bones Highland, did lead the way in terms of scoring. He had 13, but he was one of those 5 guys that was significantly negative in the plus-minus, and in fact, he was the team low. He was negative 31 in his 37 minutes. He was 5 of 14 from the field, though, 3 three-pointers, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, and 1 block. They also got 5 points from Devon Reed in 16 minutes. He was 2 of 4 from the field, negative 30 in the plus-minus, and 2 points for the other 3 players to see the court. Zeke Nagy in 10 minutes, he was negative 27. 2 points for James Ennis in 3 minutes, and 2 points for Facundo Campazzo, and he was brutal in this game. 1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. He had 2 turnovers, he was negative 28. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a couple of really good options to pick from, despite just having 4 games in the NBA. So you had a big double-double from Rudy Gobert, 18 and 19. Christian Wood had a nice double-double as well, 23 points and 14 rebounds. You had Buddy Hield dropping 27 off the bench. Karl Anthony Towns had 26 and 11. And Donovan Mitchell had 31 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. But ultimately, we're going to have to go with the reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic. It was an easy pick today. 25 points, 15 rebounds, 14 assists, and 2 steals. He was very efficient, 10 of 18 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, and 3 of 3 from the free throw line. So pretty much the only mark against him was the 0 blocks and the 3 turnovers. But nonetheless, there is really not much more he could possibly be doing for this team right now. I frankly think he is in line for contention for another MVP if he keeps this up. The Nuggets are probably too far down in the standings for him to warrant consideration. But nonetheless, he is absolutely putting up numbers like he did last season. It's just that this year they're losing games like this instead of winning them. So Nikola Jokic is definitely your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, it was a pretty easy pick again. Davion Mitchell, the rookie for the Sacramento Kings, off the bench, and he got a little bit of extended playing time due to Tyrese Haliburton being in the COVID health and safety protocols. He played 28 minutes in this game, and he had 16 points on 7 of 12 shooting. He was 2 of 4 from beyond the arc, and he had 4 rebounds, 7 assists, and 4 steals. That is insane stuff for the rookie, Davion Mitchell. Now, the Kings lost this game, and they're not exactly doing great at the moment, but you have to say, if there's one area in which they are flush with talent, it is the backcourt. They've got several young, talented guys with Davion Mitchell, Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Haliburton, so it'll be interesting to see where they go as a franchise from here if they potentially move one of those guys. But anyways, Mitchell is your surprising line of the night, and Nikola Jokic is your standout line of the night. And with that, we can move on now to our preview for today, Monday, January the 17th. And we've got a whole bunch of games on in the NBA today because it is MLK Day, and so we've got games all day. Starting off in Boston, the Celtics are taking on the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Celtics are -4. In New York, the Knicks are taking on the Charlotte Hornets, and the Knicks are -1. In Washington, the Wizards take on the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Sixers are -3.5. In Cleveland, the Cavaliers are taking on the Brooklyn Nets, and the Cavs are -3. In Memphis, the Grizzlies take on the Chicago Bulls, and the Grizz are big favorites. They are -8. In Los Angeles, the Clippers take on the Indiana Pacers, and the Clips are -1.5. In Atlanta, the Hawks take on the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Bucks are -6. In Orlando, the Magic face the Portland Trailblazers, and the Blazers are -1.5. In Miami, the Heat are taking on the Toronto Raptors, and the Heat are -3. In San Antonio, the Spurs face the Phoenix Suns, and the Suns are -4.5. In Dallas, the Mavericks are taking on the OKC Thunder, and the Mavs are big favorites. They are -11.5. And finally, in LA, the Lakers are taking on the Utah Jazz, and the Jazz are -4.5. All right, so a couple of good options here to pick from. We've got a ton of interesting games. I'm intrigued to see how the Brooklyn Nets look with no KD, but with Kyrie back in the lineup. I'm also really intrigued by that Heat-Raptors matchup. The Raptors being +3 seems a bit low to me, or a bit high, I should say. I feel like they have a good chance of winning that game. They've been red hot recently, but I don't have enough faith in them to beat the Heat, who are also red hot at the moment, so I'm going to stay away from that one. Ultimately, we have two best bets for today, and I'm feeling pretty good about both of them. So first, we're going to take the Philadelphia 76ers -3.5 in Washington. The 76ers are on fire lately. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games. They're on a two-game winning streak right now, and they have a +2.1 point differential, whereas the Wizards have kind of been up and down lately, especially with Bradley Beal out. They've got a -2 point differential. They're down in ninth right now in the Eastern Conference. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. So I think the 76ers are playing fantastic right now. I think they can easily win this game despite not having home court advantage. Neither of these teams are on the second night of a back-to-back. So I think Philly can easily win this game and cover that, so we're going to go with the 76ers -3.5. And then for our second best bet for today, we're going to go all the way with the last game of the night, the Utah Jazz -4.5 in Los Angeles against the Lakers. The Lakers are always an interesting team to bet against because the numbers always get a little juiced in their favor. Now, it's probably a little bit because the Jazz are on the second night of a back-to-back, but nonetheless, I think they are, they went through a little bit of a rough patch there, but I think they're back on track now that they've got Rudy Gobert back in the lineup. They're only 5-5 in their last 10 games, but they still have that +7.8 point differential, and so I think this is exactly the type of game where they can not only win, but run up the scoreline quite a bit. The Lakers are on a tailspin right now. They're on a three-game losing streak, and they have that -1.6 point differential. So I will take the Utah Jazz, despite the fact that it's the second night of a back-to-back and they don't have home court advantage, and it's going to be -4.5. And then our other best bet is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers -3.5 in Washington. And that will do it for us today, so thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all of the action from today, MLK Day, in the NBA. So until then, thanks for tuning in.